There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have y'all along on this Thursday, the Friday Eve edition, the Halloween edition of Midday Mobile. And bring on the... Continue just do cheesy. Bring on the very spooky Dale Leash from Lanyap and LanyapMobile.com. Hey, spooky Dale.
Hey, why am I spooky?
I don't know. It's Halloween. I'm trying to stick with a theme or something.
Okay.
I don't know. What do you do with the kids? I mean, you live in a swanky neighborhood where people can just walk around. Do you walk with them? Do you carry them in a vehicle?
Yeah, yeah.
What do you do? Do you go to another neighborhood where the pickings are better? What do you do?
No, as you know, I live in Oakley. The pickings, I don't think, could be much better. To be honest with you, we walk around. We get on our we just walk until we get tired. We actually have some friends coming with us. They live in a different neighborhood. They're coming to trick or treat with us. So it should be a pretty interesting night.
So I mean, you talked to them and said it's better in our neighborhood than yours. So come on with us.
I mean, I don't know if it was exactly put that way, but yeah, that's the case.
Okay.
That's the case. Yeah, no, I love our neighborhood for Halloween. Usually we'll have my wife and her friend will stay behind and hand out candy at our house and the neighbor's house. And then I'll take the kids with another dad and we'll go walk around the neighborhood trick-or-treating. It'll be fun. I'm always looking forward to it.
Good deal. Yeah, do you dress up?
I don't. I will this year, though, because I've got an easy costume idea. I don't know how many of your listeners are familiar with the show It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, but there's an episode of the show where they on a long cross country flight they do the Wade Bugs and they try to count how many beers they've had on the flight. So I'm gonna get a white t-shirt and a Sharpie and just put tally marks on it. That's gonna be my costume.
I need pictures.
So,
I will need pictures.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's circle around to I guess our last conversation, last week's conversation, and this is. I don't think this is over yet, for sure. The latest here between Governor Ivey and Admiral Davis and the board there for the Alabama Department of Veterans Affairs. Where does it stand? Give us an update. Give us a score count.
Okay, so I wrote a story that's in the paper. Paper this week will be online later today. Basically with a conservative commenter, journalist, and former VA appointee, Quinn Hillier spoke with me about his thoughts on whether what Kay Ivey did to get rid of Admiral Davis was legal or if she overstepped her authority.
It was pretty interesting, too. He said, I mean, yeah. I heard him talk about it, too, that he said he looked through the law. Thank God somebody did, right? You do it as well. And said, I don't see where it says she has the supreme executive authority.
No, and I don't either. Based on what we saw... or what we've pulled out of the code, I think it's hard for them to justify that what she did was not an overreach. I'm not saying that, like, they couldn't retroactively bring it to the state Supreme Court and say, oh, no, everything she did was fine and by the book. In fact, I would, you know, wouldn't be surprised if that's exactly what happens in the future with if it does come to a lawsuit, and I believe that it probably will. But who knows? Who knows? Maybe this is the end of it. Who knows? But no, I think she I think there's pretty good evidence that she overstepped her authority. I think Quinn makes that case pretty decidedly in the story I wrote. I talked to some local legislators about it with varying degrees of comfort. Right. So you have on one side, you have Chris Pringle, who basically is like, basically said, I think the governor can do this. And then you had Greg Allbritton, who basically, the senator, who basically said, you know, I don't know, you know, I don't know, basically that a lawsuit will probably sort this out, because I don't know if she has that authority, but once she sets her mind to something, she's going to do it. So,
but that doesn't mean, just because you set your mind to something doesn't make something legal.
Right. And that's what he said. He said he didn't know if it was or wasn't. So I don't know. I'm going to be spending my week. We'll have an update.
Okay.
I'll be spending my week gathering information for that update. I'm interested to see if there's any precedent to a governor doing something like this in the past. So we'll be asking that question and talking to some other people with knowledge of what transpired. So y'all can look for that.
It's going to be interesting
in the future.
Because Dale, something we were talking about on the station this week is, you know, okay. So what about back during COVID, and when the governor was saying so much about, well, I can't, you know, said some things, the word was out that she couldn't. You couldn't ask her to remove the head of the Alabama Department of Public Health anyway, because he was by a board. She didn't have the, you know, authority to do that.
Right, and we all took her at her word that that was the case, right? Like, it made sense.
Yeah.
And then she goes around and does this. And now you're like, well, now I don't know.
Somebody said today, could she go in, because they're state institutions? Could she fire the head football coach at Auburn, Alabama? Could she? I mean, how far does it go?
That's the question. We don't know. We don't know how far this supreme executive power, whatever was the quote, how far it reaches out. I mean, is she gonna fire Hugh Freeze after the season? I'm not saying that she should, but maybe somebody should.
I mean, really, if she exercises this thing, am I doing a little bit for discussion? Sure, but I do have that question. If she could do it in this case, then where are the boundaries? Where couldn't she do it if she wanted to?
And frankly, anybody who's regardless of your political power, if you live in Alabama, it should be kind of scary that a governor has, you know, this unchecked power, right? Like, we talk about it on a national level all the time with executive orders, but now it's happening with it just seems like the executive branch in every institution of government gets more and more powerful, and we just sit here and let it happen, and it's kind of frightening, you know?
Yeah, it is. And I, you know, got to know that. I mean, if you're going to play the game, you know, I think I know, you know, government, you know, the three branches, you know, what this can do and that. Right. And then all of a sudden you get thrown this thing. You go, how does that work?
Right. So I don't know. Do we have checks and balances, or do we not? Because if we don't have checks and balances, you know, God help us all. Like,
yeah, you have checks and balances until you don't want to have them. And then you can exercise the supreme authority.
All right. So everything's good as long as somebody agrees with you.
Yes.
And lets you do what you want to do because you're the governor. The minute they don't, you can just do whatever you want anyway. That doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't to me either, man. I'm glad you said it that way. It does not to me. So I'll be looking forward to further reporting on that. Also, help me with this. So City Council this week agreeing to renew the Business Improvement District for the fourth time. And so this, first of all, I guess,
they'll do it. They'll do it next week.
Next week. But what is the bid? What is the Business Improvement District? What?
So the Business Improvement District is a fee charged to commercial businesses and, for purposes of our future discussion, churches in the downtown area. They pay a fee based on their property tax assessment. That fee is used to pay for services outside of normal city services. So my understanding is they do additional trash pickup. They do some street sweeping, you know, they plant, they do some landscaping, and they clean up litter and stuff like that. And that's just the things I can remember off the top of my head. I'm sure there's a lot more services that they do. So I don't want people jumping all over them that they don't do enough for their money. Cause I'm just naming the ones I can remember off the top of my head.
This is downtown. So, I mean, where's the parameters of the Business Improvement District?
It's basically downtown. Like, it's basically downtown. I don't know exactly what the parameters are. But just think of, you know, the central business district will be, you know, the neighborhoods of, like, you know, businesses in the Tiny Square and the central business district, Church Street East, stuff like that. Those would be the businesses that.
It's like their HOA or something?
Well, except it's not homeowners, it's business.
I know, but I mean, it's like their, I know it's not homeowners, but it's like their business,
their more, BOA. It's more quasi-government than that, right? Like, so it's managed by the Downtown Mobile Alliance, which, you know, as we've seen, has can be influenced by politics. So it's more quasi-government than that. It's more of a, I wouldn't necessarily call it a BOA as much as it's a government, it's a quasi-government entity that manages this stuff.
What about the separation of church and government? See what I did
right?
there?
Right, right. Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, that's why I said quasi. So yeah. So the thing about this is if you call the fee a tax, then you're basically taxing churches, right? If they're included in there. And so there's been lawyers representing the Archdiocese and representing Christ Church Cathedral spoke at Tuesday's meeting saying, hey, we'd really like it if y'all didn't charge us this fee, because this fee to us is like a tax, and, you know, the state doesn't allow you to tax churches, and they don't even do property tax assessments on church property because they do them, obviously, because they have them for this fee, but, you know, there's really a prohibition against that. We'd really like you to not do this anymore. And I suspect no one seems to be against not charging the churches this fee. I think Fred Renfrey with the Downtown Mobile Alliance said it's the church part of it. I think there's three churches, very small part of their budget. Anyway, they do get a discounted rate. I think they pay 50% because they're a nonprofit, right? So they pay 50% of what the fee would be. Anyway, and it's not a huge part of their budget, but I suspect you're going to see some sort of compromise on this. Maybe there's a cap put on it so it doesn't, you know, raise to an astronomical level every year, something to that effect, to kind of, you know, make sure that the some of the money keeps flowing, because these churches do get services, as was pointed out. You know, the bid will come in and pick up trash before on Sundays, before services, on days when the city wouldn't normally do it, that sort of thing. So there is a benefit for the churches to be involved in the bid district. But the churches have argued that they provide benefits to downtown by having these, you know, giant historic, you know, churches, hard to maintain buildings down here. Yeah. I can see arguments on both sides. I get arguments on both sides, and I think you're going to see a compromise on this before it's actually voted on.
All right. We'll watch for it. Remind folks, too, to get signed up. I know that you had a special going on here. I guess today's the last day to get signed up for LanyapMobile.com for the special.
Yeah, there's a, what is it, half price? Mm-hmm. I can't believe you know it better than I do, but I think it's half price.
It's my job.
That is a really good deal, guys. I would get in on that deal before it's too late. I know that they've been pushing it out via email to people. So take advantage of that deal, which ends very shortly. So, and then, you know, just go to the prompts on the website, LanyapMobile.com. Sign up. You'll get all of the late breaking, you know, news every single day that we put out. And then, you know, there's a digital copy of the paper, even if you like it that way.
Good stuff. Y'all
really
check it out.
The support.
Yeah. And the paper out
Thank
on streets
you.
Now too.
It is. It's all about the election. Check it out.
Good stuff. Dale, we'll talk after the election.
Thanks.
All right. There he goes. Dale Leach from Lanyap. We're coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right to 124 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile, cooking along here on this Halloween edition of the show. Checking with my buddy Blaine Price at Parrish Tractor in Robertsdale. Find out what's cooking over there. Hey, Blaine.
What's going on, Sean?
Man, you know, I mean, orange tractors, Halloween, it kind of goes together for Kubota. It's good. You're riding them through the road.
That's right.
But also on the skid steers, you and I talked the other day about the new shipment of skid steers that people have been looking for. You got them.
Yes, we do. We're getting them in daily right now. I know over the next week or two, we're going to have even more coming in. But the enclosed cab, high flow, option on the SVL 97s and the SVL 75s. We have both of those in stock and ready for a new home. And Kubota still offers the zero interest financing on them, along with all the different attachments. So we have all that in stock. So if you're in the market for one, definitely come by, see us, or give us a call.
Hey, you're talking about all the attachments, and you mentioned high flow. So you got the mulchers, or what all do you have for the high flow?
We do have the mulchers and the brush cutters, okay. And those seem to be a really, you know, highly sought after attachment right now, especially this time of the year at the hunting camps, because it won't take much to make you some new deer fields for sure.
I like it. I opened up fire breaks with one this summer, and it was magic. What about rental? What's it looking like there?
So we do have the skid steers and the mini excavators, along with the tractors, man lifts, dump trailers, all that in rental. We do have some that I know will be leaving for the weekend, but we have plenty in stock right now in the rental fleet. So if you're not looking to buy one, you could easily come rent one for a day, a weekend, a week, a month, you know, whatever your needs are.
Hey, make Blaine's life easy. Rent it for the year.
There you go. We do have a few people that do rent them all year.
So there you go. How do people find you?
We're right here in the middle of Robertsdale Parish Tractor on Highway 59. Come by, see us Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, Saturdays, 8 till noon, or give us a call at 251-947-4171.
Hey, thanks, Blaine.
Thank you, Sean.
All right, there he goes, Blaine Price at Parish Tractor in Robertsdale. From the text line here, and just coming in here, Michael said, I rented one a while back. Great tractors. Yeah, the rental department's great. The high flow skid steer they had this summer was magic on the farm. Was magic. Adam says, I would like to hear, texted in, said, I would like to hear Steve Marshall's opinion. So he's talking about Attorney General Steve Marshall. I'd like to hear Steve Marshall's opinion on the Supreme Power matter. And, I texted back with Adam and said, me too, but I don't think he's going to run to the press with his opinion. Adam comes back and said, I don't know why not. He has no love for Meemaw. But it's a small town. I don't know, and I will, and I'll try to get, try to get opinion. The Attorney General's office puts out lots of memos, we get emails all through the week, this case, that case, what's going on. I have not seen any memo on this unless I missed something out there. This is actually more important. I mean, and I'm going to continue. We're going to have people talking with us over the next couple of weeks. Of course, Veterans Month here at FM Talk 106.5 are interviews with veterans, but we're going to focus on this bigger issue of what happened with Admiral Davis and the governor. So there's that specifically. But beyond that, almost like an academic that so many of y'all have been talking about, and I was talking about with Dale, I want to know if this thing does exist, how far does it go? What are the checks and balances on it? Because the system was set up. Were we all living a fantasy? Not like you thought about it every day. What right does the executive branch? But it's a fair question, right? When the discussion of the state over Alabama Department of Health, right? When that was all happening, we're like, well, she can't do anything about it. That's a separate entity. They have a board of doctors that appoints who the head is. But the way I see this, I mean, if you're comparing these two, I think it's the same scenario, right? Board nominates head. Governor nominates the members of the board. The board nominates the head. So I kept saying we have 2 degrees of separation between the governor and whoever's running those departments, health, and in this case, veterans. If there's a supreme power whammy, how far does it go? And do you think that's good? I mean, I know they pushed before to have certain boards in the state be completely controlled under the executive branch. And then I know that got changed or they didn't go through with it. But to know that there's something out there where, I don't know, you have some system of nominations and putting people through and the governor can only step in by changing the people on the board. Now you find out, well, actually she can, if this supreme executive power exists, can change the whole thing. We need to know that. We need to know that. And by the way, a texter just let me know that the Oakley neighborhood is really good for trick-or-treating. One thing I love about moving around, people going to different neighborhoods for trick-or-treating, you were talking about the expression of the free market. In this case, really free with Halloween. But yes, where business will go, where the climate is better. Yeah, if the people in your neighborhood don't give out the candy, you load up the family truckster and go to where the candy is. That makes sense to me, right? All right, coming right back. More Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 135, FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Glad to have y'all along on this Halloween edition of the show. Just by the way, the text line, pop in with favorite neighborhoods. Yeah, our neighborhood's pretty good. My kids grew up, so we'll stick with that. But listen, I get it. You know, you got the word gets out that the fools in this neighborhood give you way more than the other neighborhood. You travel there. You move. It's the free market system. You know, it's the land of candy and honey. It's across the street. Then you go over there and get more Halloween candy. I'd have done the same thing. I did the same thing when I was a youngster all those years ago. And I will move my children where they need to go to get more candy. That's what I'm all about. All right. We continue. And even though I know that this is still October officially, Veterans Month kicks off tomorrow, but we kicked it off earlier this week. Of course, we talk with veterans and folks in the military all November long, even beyond just on Veterans Day on the 11th. And those interviews are all going to be available online as well. Now, it's good to see young faces. I'm happy to see the old faces, too, the old veterans that come on the show with me, but it's good to see young faces in studio. And this Veterans Month interview brought to you by On-Site Auto Body Solutions. And y'all say hello to, at least this year, the youngest veterans to be in studio, Brennan Powell and Tyson Pruitt with the University of South Alabama and the ROTC. Gentlemen, lean up towards the mics and say hi to everybody.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. It's Cadet Pruitt here.
Hey, this is Cadet Powell.
And y'all's talk about the you've been in ROTC how long?
This is my third year.
Third year?
It's my third year as well.
And we'll get you closer to that mic right there. Tell me about it, when you made the decision. So I'll ask a lot of times people being here, and I'll ask their enlistment story, like, what happened? I've had some funny story. I mean, I was lucky enough to interview World War II veterans, and they had so many more of the raucous stories I've heard. But for you, what made you decide to do this? Cadet Powell first, and then Cadet Pruitt. So what made you decide to do this?
So I was in high school, went to Alma Bryant High School.
Okay, here very good. Very good.
And I was in the JROTC program there, had some great mentors, the instructors there, and I enlisted senior year in the Alabama National Guard, and that's kind of what started me on in the past.
So I mean, junior ROTC was, and I'm going to have you pull that mic a little closer to you. So junior ROTC was a good thing for you, you said. So when you got into junior ROTC, what prompted that, I guess? What got you started in that?
They came to my school, and they kind of just showed this cool little video for us, and that kind of sold me from there. And
okay.
I got in the program and met some pretty amazing friends along the way and started growing as a person. And I can't be more thankful for that. And instructors were just awesome.
And you said, okay, this is for me.
This is for me.
And so you continue it now at the University of South Alabama doing ROTC.
Yes, sir.
Your plans to for the military, what is your plans in the Army?
Plans? So
what they tell you?
Pretty much, right? That's about it. Show up right place, right time, right uniform. I should commission on December 26th, and then from there,
awesome.
I'll get put with a unit in Alabama, and I'll go on from there leading soldiers and driving them to be better.
Excellent. Cadet Pruitt, let's talk about your story. Was it junior ROTC, or how'd you get into this?
Oh, no, I was a totally different route. So I was my first year in college. I had some troubles with school, money, finances, and I was like, man, what should I do? And you already know the Army, they knocking at my front door.
Uh-huh.
So went to the recruiting station. This is in 2019, actually. Went to the recruiting station, almost went after duty, but then I got talked out of it so I can do ROTC. So I did reserves, and I figured out was a way you can do S&P, so you can do reserves or guard and still be in school.
Okay.
So I went through basic, came out, took a little time off from school because I actually wanted to go active again. Then I got with a recruiter again by ROTC, and that's when I joined South in 2021. I did one semester there, and I ended up getting deployed.
Where did you deploy to?
Guantanamo Bay.
Okay.
So I went to Cuba for a year, 2022 to 23, and I came back last year. I contracted, and now I'm finishing up. And I should graduate and commission in 2025.
You know, I thought I knew how this interview would go, but you just said something that fascinates me. I've even had people on that wrote books about it. So you're deployed to Guantanamo.
Yes, sir.
How many acres is it there? I mean, it's not much,
it's
right?
Not much at all.
And you talking to people who have been there, you turn and look, that's Cuba.
Yep, you can go one side of the base to the other side of the base in less than 10 minutes.
And everything around you outside of that is Cuba.
That's it.
What does that feel like, man? I mean, but to be there and, you know that there's this little piece of America that's right here on this big island that doesn't like us.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, it felt like America because at one point, for I think 80% of my deployment, they wouldn't let you leave base. You couldn't leave the base, you couldn't leave the post, you couldn't go anywhere within 5 miles of the post. So, we tried to go to Havana, but they're like, man, they're not going to want you there, especially when they find out you're a soldier. You do not want to go there. So, I mean, but it was a good experience. I learned a lot, met some cool people, met a lot of interesting people, worked with three-letter agencies. So I got a lot of
fun experiences, you know, if somebody in their 20s to get that experience, already have that wisdom. So at South, what is a day like for being a member of ROTC? Because we're going to talk to there's some younger people listening, but their parents as well listen. Give me an idea. Like, what's it like? It's Tuesday. What are you doing?
It's almost essentially like being a student athlete because you got PT three times a week. You have to wake up about 5:30, get there 06 in the morning to 07, and that's if you don't do extracurricular stuff. We got Ranger Challenge PT. So essentially you got PT 5 days a week. Then you got class. And me, I got a full-time job. So Yeah, so you're juggling working, working out, school, academics, and then you have to go back to ROTC if you're in a leadership position, do plan like training meetings and labs and stuff like that. So, but other than that, I mean, it's fun because we're a family. Mm-hmm. We do tailgates on the weekends. And the PT, people think, you know, physical training is going to be gruesome and tough, but, you know, it's a lot of team bonding. We do dodgeball, kickball, stuff like that. So it's fun, but it teaches you how to multitask and manage stuff throughout the day.
Both of you having school, ROTC, and a job. I can't imagine when somebody, wherever you're hanging out, and goes, man, I hate it. This class is killing me, man. I got so much stuff to do. You probably look at them and go, you got no idea.
No idea.
Man, I have to study for 2 hours. It's horrible. This, for the school part of it, too, when you go in, it seems to me, by listening to both of you men speak, the discipline of the ROTC probably would help you with the school part of it. Even though just the you know, getting the ground, that you get up in the morning, you do this, that probably makes grades go up. I imagine it would have for me.
Oh, for sure. ROTC has been a big help. Some of the planning aspects you learn in the program, I use it day-to-day life in planning out what I do for school, how I attempt to, tackle classes and balance everything else in my life.
Okay, so like the idea of military planning that you men learn, you then use that in other parts of your life.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I've been around enough of y'all that are older. I see it. And that planning and then mission-based. I continue with my friends that are even retired out of the Army. It's give them a mission. And that mission might not be a military mission. It's like, hey, we're going to try to fix this trailer this weekend. And they just hit it a different way.
Oh, yeah, mission first.
What looking forward into this, y'all want to stick in and stay in for long-term, be one of these people that you're like, well, I got in and I looked up and I was 55 years old and I didn't know what happened, that kind of thing?
Yes, sir. That's my plan. At least 20 years.
Okay. And I heard somebody, it was Cadet Pruitt mentioned Ranger Challenge. Ranger Challenge. Mm-hmm. What is Ranger Challenge?
So it's
there's an airport and y'all going to go take it?
it's not that hardcore. So pretty much what it is every year, the whole country has this Ranger Challenge competition for all schools, all cadets throughout the country. So you have each brigade broken half. So like we're in six brigades. So we got USA, Ole Miss, pretty much all the East Coast all the way down through Florida.
Okay.
Southeast. So pretty much what it is, you compete against other schools, and the top 10 schools get invited to the next round, and then the next round to where it's like the top 10 schools in the country are competing.
Oh, wow. It's like the playoffs here.
Mm-hmm, and you got to do a rucks, 6 mile rucks in a certain time, land navigation, a certain amount of points in a certain time, marksmanship, all kind of stuff.
are there rivalries? I mean, do you like, you know, South, you know, we're better than whatever other school?
We're always going to be better than Troy, so.
Yeah, that's what's funny. Did you have your own battle for the belt? Yeah,
we had a battle 2 weeks ago at our tailgate. They came down, we had the Troy versus South Alabama football game. We had a competition out there, and we beat them. So
very good.
Jay's up.
See, there you go. Absolutely, Jay's up. So, yeah, people listening to us right now, you recommend it. You both. So we're talking to younger guys. Parents, listen for your children. A net positive, obviously, for both of you men. Yes,
yes sir.
And what about on the junior side of it, too? it's good to know that it exists, but I don't hear as much about it, I guess, as when I was a kid with junior ROTC. How do they find out if somebody's like, you know, they got a high schooler about those programs?
I say just try it out. Most Mobile County schools have it. I'd say give it a try. My freshman year, I was of high school, of course. I didn't know if I wanted to stick with the program, and I wound up actually sticking with it all the way into my senior year. Enlistment side, it got me E3. Now it's getting you E4. So a little bit up there on the enlistment side, a little bit of an advantage.
I mean, you've been our leaders. You're trained to be leaders.
Right.
And then just the leadership skills, teamwork building skills you get there. I went with JRTC. I was all the way on top of Mobile County. I was the brigade commander of that. So
that's got to feel pretty good.
Yeah.
That's got to feel pretty good. Well, this is awesome. I appreciate you coming in. I appreciate y'all's service now and continued service to our nation.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate your support.
Thank you for what y'all are doing. And, yeah, Jay's up.
Jay's up.
Absolutely. Y'all listening to Brennan Powell and Tyson Pruitt. They are at South with the ROTC program. But, yeah, talking about junior ROTC, too, existing in the Mobile County Public Schools. If you're looking for direction for kids, I think my parents said that about me one day. If you're looking for direction for those kids, junior ROTC out there. Thank you, man.
Yes, sir.
All right, coming right back to wrap it up on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back. Midday Mobile on this Halloween edition of the show. Glad to have you here. 343-0106 to get through. Check in with my friend David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars and talk about that inventory, man. What's the update look like?
Well, we have a few new pieces. We traded in a really nice Ford F-150 four-wheel drive last night, but we just sold it this morning, so that one's gone. But I've got bought Jennifer another Yukon, and we've got her car for sale, and it's a rare bird. It's a GLS-63. It's 580 horsepower Mercedes utility vehicle, and it is some kind of nice.
Yeah, the utility is hauling butt with that many horsepower.
Yeah, that's the truth.
Wow.
It's a real rare. It's a rare car, twin turbo V8. So I mean, it's a screamer. But we've also got we got in a couple of small SUVs, and we've got a great inventory right now. The lot's full, so it's a great time to come see us.
Okay, let's talk about the other formula, the part of the formula here, financing. What's that looking like?
Financing's good. We've done two or three deals with credit unions this week. And then we've still got the buy here, pay here, and secondary programs working just like they're supposed to. And now everything's going smooth with financing. We haven't had any issues at all here lately.
I like it. Tell folks how to find you.
We're at Highway 90 and Plantation. That's in Theodore, 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A. You can give us a call at 251-375-0068 or go to the website, lcmmotorcars.com.
There he is. David McCrary, thank you.
Have a good day, buddy.
Hey, you too. Before we wrap up and Feinbaum comes on here in just a little bit, I give you a heads up on this. And Leanna, I'm communicating with Leanna over a 50,000-watt FM station instead of walking in there. I'm going to send you this link here in a second. We can put it up, I guess, on our through the Facebook page. I got this note that veterans and their families, y'all can receive up to 6 complimentary tickets to the South football game this Saturday. We'll put the link up. It's usajaguars.evenue. E as in evil. E as in Eric. USAJaguarsEvenue.net. And if you go there, but we'll put the link up. If you click through there, there's a place for veterans to receive and your families up to 6 tickets to the game. Speaking of which, too, Saturday's Jags game is going to be homecoming and also military appreciation game, the kickoff at 6:30. And our friend, my friend, and the station's friend and host on this, two shows on this station, Tom Claxton, who is the Veteran of the Year, Marine Tom Claxton, will be there. Also, Dent Boykin, who will be receiving the Captain Hal Pierce Memorial Award. That will be there. They will be there to do the coin toss and be recognized. So that's at kickoff at 6:30 for the football game. So, yeah, give Tom and Dent a big shout-out. But once again, I know there's a lot of veterans listening to the station. You want to go take the family to the game? That's pretty cool. You go to USA Jaguars. Or like that you say in the commercial, Jaguar. Jaguars, usajaguars.evenue.net, and get the tickets through there, and we'll post that up here in just a little bit. Right, text line. All right, let's go. My gosh, we'll try to pick a few of these out. A lot of talk about where to go trick-or-treating. Also, people like my buddy Greg, man, thank you, sending me pictures to torture me. He's doing well on the crabs. Yeah, we went a couple weeks ago and went netting crabs down at the West End. But it's good to know that you're in the Bay and getting, it's a good time of year. I'd like a big 5-gallon bucket full of crabs for this weekend. That would be good. Thank you for the pictures. I will take the pictures as you're out having fun. I enjoy those. This from Jerry in downtown Fort Morgan said the governor will do anything she wants to do because the elected representatives are cowards who will never stand up to her. It's going to be interesting, Jerry, to see that, because it has been quiet, right? It has been quiet. I agree with you. And it's what I think what we'll see, and this is our system, right? If it works properly, if constituents call their representatives and their senator and say, hey, what about this thing where the executive power was exercised by the governor to remove the head of the Alabama Department of Veterans Affairs? Do you agree with that? Is that the law? I mean, the first thing we got to figure out, is that the law? Was it legal? And if it was, do you think we should have that kind of system? Should y'all try to move that? Remember back, I guess it was in, during COVID, that the legislature did make, they were talking about making a move to be able to call themselves into session for a special session. Because as of now, the governor calls the legislature into special session, not the legislature. They were making that move, but I don't think it went anywhere. I'd have to go back and read up on that. But yeah, there are some questions on what's more, and every state's not the same. That's one thing, I say this a lot. We live here, got to get used to how we do things here, although this thing seems different. But some states have stronger governors and weaker, bicameral bodies, legislative bodies. Some places the legislature is stronger than the governor. Where do those, where are those checks and balances in our state? It's a fair question. I'm going to be reading updates from Jeff. I know Dale Leash is working on it. And Rob over and Ashley at Lanyap. I've got some op-eds that have been published lately. I think I popped up on the Twitter feed. We're going to talk to some of those folks going forward as well on this. All right, this from unnamed texter said, Sean, you had a congressman on a while back talking about a bill that would stop Alabama game wardens from searching your boat without probable cause. I was wondering if there's an update on that bill or if there's somewhere I could go find it. I don't know a bill. The discussion we had, I remember, it was Sheriff Birch from here in Mobile County talking about what was being done from the Marine Patrol that falls under the state troopers, and I think a particular officer, and what they were using as a reason for doing a search. So unnamed texture, that's what I'm thinking of. Maybe there's something else we talked about that I've forgotten about. I'll go back and look. If there's an update, I will get it for you. All right. Well, Brad said it's not homecoming for South, just Veterans Appreciation. Well, I didn't think so, but I got a note from people that told me it was. So that's that's the problem. That's the I'm just following along with what they sent me. How about this? Then we agree it's military appreciation. It has to be if you let my friend Tom Claxton on the field. And once again, that link, I think that does work. I have to test that out, but I think it does. It was sent to me. It's usajaguars.evenue.net. If you'll go click that link and we can put it up, veterans and their families can get up to 6 complimentary tickets to the game on Saturday. All right, a few more of these. Let's see. Charles says, Sean, great tunes today. What was the last one? Happy Halloween. That was, the last bump that we came in the segment, that would have been, Talk Talk, old 80s band, because I'm 52 years old. Song's called Life's What You Make It. So there you go. Here's people saying they're going to bring me crabs. Okay, now we're talking. You bring me oysters and crabs. I'll trade you FM Talk 106.5 goodies. Actually, for the person there who said they're going to bring me the 5-gallon bucket of crabs, I'll tell you what, I got a trade for you. I got a 5-gallon bucket for you. You bring me the full one, and I got an empty one that's pretty darn cool, and I'll trade you. I'll logoed FM Talk 106.5 bucket if I have some left, which I do. I'll hook you up. All right, Paul Feinbaum Show on the way next. We'll do this all again tomorrow. And coming up on tomorrow's show as well, Carolyn Dobson joins us also. Erica Thomas from 1819 News. And we'll do another Veterans Month interview. with a big sponsor of the Veterans Day celebration and a company I know is friendly to hiring veterans, Airbus. Talk about that as well tomorrow on Midday Mobile.